I talked to since Dwayne is here now. Let's get to, well, let me read the quote. I think this is appropriate because I really believe this to be true. Odd, as I'm sure it will appear to some, I can think of no better form of personal involvement in the cure of the environment than that of gardening. A person who is growing a garden, if he is growing it organically, is improving a piece of the world. He is producing something to eat, which makes him somewhat independent of the grocery business, but he is also enlarging for himself the meaning of food and the pleasure of eating. And that's our good friend Wendell Berry in The Art of the Commonplace. And when he says he means all of us. Mm-hmm. So, Dwayne, again, thank you for joining us today. And you gave us some thoughts to observe. What is a seed library?
Okay. What it amounts to is, in California, they started it. Really good idea. It's a repository for heirloom seeds. We need to get a sustained supply of seeds. Right now, we have a serious problem. The seed industry is controlled by approximately four major companies, and they're causing some real problems. A lot of our old heirloom seeds are disappearing. There's still a lot of them out there. We know they're there, but we're trying to get them back into a seed library where they're available to everyone.
And there are seed libraries all over the country. There's some really big ones, I think, in Iowa or Missouri that are really famous and well-known. But really, regionally, seeds are different from region to region. So are you talking our regional seeds, people in our community?
This is what we want to get going. With the seed library here, we're trying to get seeds out to the community in heirloom seeds. And then people save their seed, bring them back into us, and then we get those seeds available to everyone.
Would you please explain to everyone what an heirloom seed is? Because, you know, you can go to several places and just buy a package of seeds, and it doesn't say heirloom or it doesn't say GMO or anything.
Right. That is very true. Heirloom seeds are seeds. Yeah, there's two different ways of looking at this. Personally, I believe an heirloom seed is one that has basically bred true for at least 50 years. Some people say it's got to be 100, but by the time a seed is bred true for 50 years, I think it's pretty stable. Mm-hmm. These are seeds that you can save. You know, you plant your seed, you plant the seeds, they grow up, you designate a portion of them for a seed for your garden for your next year so that you'll have a continuing supply of seed, and at the same time save a little extra for the seed library for other people. But that's what an heirloom seed is. It's one that's bred true for at least 50 years.
Now, are you keeping a repository of a certain amount of each heirloom seed that they bring in, that's brought in, so that there's always going to be something?
We take what we can get.
Okay.
We do have a serious problem.
Okay.
This year is the make it or break it year for our seed library. It started about 5 years ago. Camille McKittrick at the library started it. And what it is it's one of the old card files. Okay. Now everything's computerized. So they had this card file left over, and that's what we're using.
And why is it a make-or-break year? Is it that the seeds are being used up and we're running out?
This is kind of this problem. Seeds are going out. In fact, I got an email from Camille yesterday that said that the library is almost empty. Oh. And can I please bring in some more seeds? Well, I'm the only one so far that's been packaging and putting seed in. There are a few other people that have brought in some seed, and boy, I really appreciate what they've done. But the problem is that far more seed is going out than what is coming in.
I think part of the situation is gardeners really go forth in their gardening endeavor to come up with food. And they don't think beyond that necessarily. And there's a certain amount of knowledge you need to save seeds. And so how does a gardener, say they hear what you're saying today, go, okay, this year I'm going to save seeds, but I don't know how.
Okay. This is whole. It's not a big deal to save seed. It really isn't. It's relatively simple. However, it does require a little bit of education. We put on 3 seminars a year. I personally put those on. There are other seminars available in the area that you can go and pay for. The ones at the library are free. Excuse me. These seminars teach you how to designate a portion of your garden for seed because a seed is... You got to be careful what you pick. First, it's got to be properly pollinated. Second, it's got to be full and mature. A tomato seed, for instance, if you pick a tomato that is ripe and it's beautiful and it's the one that you want to eat, it's not good seed. The one that is starting to rot is a good seed. That's a good seed tomato. And you have to understand that. Like I say, it's relatively simple to save seed, but it does take a little education, and we put on 3 seminars to do that.
3 seminars?
Yes.
And when you're talking about the mature seeds, it's so that the germination rate, when you go to plant them in the spring, be it in your little planters in the house under the grow lights or even in the garden, need to have a good germination rate.
Correct.
So the more mature, the better germination
yes.
rate.
A mature seed is kind of like a chicken egg. That orange thing in the middle of a chicken egg is the chicken. But all that white gooey stuff that's around it, that is food. And that's what keeps the chick alive until it's big enough and strong enough to break out of the shell. A seed is very, very similar. If it isn't fully mature, it doesn't have enough life-sustaining food inside that shell to keep it going until it's big enough that it can put a root down to absorb energy from the soil and get up and get 2 leaves going so that it can start absorbing energy from the sun. And until it reaches that point, it's not too good. It'll fall over and just quit.
You mentioned that heirloom seeds are becoming less and less available. Are you talking countrywide, and is it because of the Monsantos and the other people buying them up? Is that something that's going on purpose, or is it something that people just aren't paying attention to?
It's a little of each.
Okay.
Of course, let's face it, those 4 major companies, they're in it for the money.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get rid of all the competition, they're happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is we're losing diversity. When we lose diversity, it makes us more susceptible to bad weather conditions, all kinds of things, bugs, germs, everything can attack. And if it wipes out the ones that they've got, we're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I might also add that it takes away flavor and interesting plants. There's so many heirlooms and unusual varieties that we lose when we don't have our plants.
Yeah, we're losing a lot of those. There are some really neat plants out there, and once in a while we get some seed in that, great-great-grandpa brought over from Italy, 100 years ago, and the family has been keeping these seeds going ever since. And those are the ones that we'd really like to see. Because those are the ones we've been losing. You got to understand, we're losing so much. And you stop and you think back 150 years, 17% of the population was directly involved in food production. That's, when I say food production, that's raising it, butchering it, everything involved. Today, it's less than 1%. Hmm. When you really stop and think about that, that starts to get really scary. We're living in a very volatile war age. If, I hate to put it this way, but if the crap hits the fan, and sooner or later it will, I mean, history tells us that things happen. Geological, political, World War I, II, III, IV, all of these things happen. And if no one knows how to raise a garden, we're going to have a problem. An awful lot of people are going to starve to death. That's all there is to it.
Well, there's different eras, you know, that come up, and it seems like there's a resurgence in gardening. Towns like Missoula have a program called 1,000 Lawns to Gardens, really turning front yards into gardens, and it's happening. So there's movement, but what you're saying, Duane, is it sounds like you have a real passion and almost a dedication to bringing this to the forefront so that our citizens know what is needed. What do you, besides people learning how to save their seeds and replenish the heirloom seed library over at the library, what else, just more gardens?
More gardens would be a really good idea.
Mm-hmm.
We live in an area that is relatively new. The Rocky Mountains area is new. You go back to the Appalachian Mountains, those are old mountains. Our soil here is poor at best. And you can't just take a handful of seeds and throw it at a pile of dirt and expect to eat what comes up. It ain't going to happen. A garden requires a little bit of work. You got to get some fertilizer into it.
Mm-hmm.
Manure, compost. You've got to learn how to make compost. This is what scares me, is you don't suddenly make a garden.
It is a process.
You don't suddenly have the seed. Right. It's an ongoing process.
Mm-hmm. I want to give you a little bit of good news, Duane, because one of the things that's happening in our community is we have the School Garden Project with Michelle Murphy and Dion Heller. And I just heard that every single one of our elementary schools is going to have a school garden for the kids. And these are not just little things that they go and look at. These children get very involved, and the whole community is backing the school gardens. So that's the good news.
You don't know how good it is.
Yeah.
Actually, quite a bit of the seed that we got in last fall came from the schools.
Oh, my goodness. That's
yes.
Perfect.
Farm and School and, I can't remember them.
Uh-huh.
That's the trouble with getting old.
It's Farman, it's Washington
Northside.
And
yep.
Northside, and now the one in Sagal is just starting up, and then Southside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
right.
Those are all being donated by different organizations in our town.
Right.
People come out and help build them. And then they're managed by the teachers once they're established, and the students learn so much. And as you said, some of the seeds from the library now are coming from these school gardens, which is perfect.
This is true.
So those children are learning how to save seeds, which right. I still need to learn.
I would like to see more people come to our seminars. I'm really sorry to say that the turnout for the seminars has been rather poor.
So how do we hear about these? Because I haven't, and I would have been there. But so how do you get hooked into the news flash that the seminar is coming up?
Okay. You have East Bonner County Library. That is a site. If you type it into your computer, you're going to see this big, pretty picture. And on that site is a calendar of events. And our seminars are listed on that calendar of events. You got to kind of keep an eye on it, because the first seminar I can fix pretty well, because that one is really just looking at what you need to start preparing, how to plan your garden, some of the things you want to start accumulating if you're going to have a garden, if you're going to save seed, some of the things you need to start looking for and finding. The second seminar I have at my own garden out at my property. But that is determined by the weather. I don't mean whether or not it rains or shines. I don't care about that. But I need to have my garden up to a specific point where I can walk out there with a group of people and point at things and say, this is what you need to do.
When is the first seminar? Have we missed it?
You missed it.
Okay. And that was the one about preparation, getting going.
That's correct.
And okay. And the second one will be according to the weather,
right,
meaning the warmth of the soil so that things are at a certain point.
Well, so I've got a tomato that's starting to get ripe. So I've got some peas that are up. So I've got some squash blossoms that I can show people how to... Okay, squash is a tricky one.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking June, it sounds like.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah, sometime in June.
Okay, and people can go to the East Bonner County Library website and look at the calendar and right, find out when that is. And, you know, there's a lot of other resources, too. These seminars sound wonderful and so helpful for people, especially really to encourage people to get going. But there's, I think we have the Bonner County... gardener growers. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure what their name is. And then there's all of the different places you can go and buy mm-hmm. plants in our community. I know that they're very helpful. I'm not going to give out the names, but I'm sure you can look online, gardening centers in mm-hmm. Sandpoint, Idaho, to find out what those are. And what about the community garden, Pat?
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, I would love to have you come out near harvest time and, well, even before that, to come out and talk to the... I'd set it up and get our plotters to come over and say, hey, let's learn some things about seed
that
saving and
all like
that.
Sounds like a good plan.
Okay, I will get your number.
Okay.
Great.
Nope, that works.
Great.
In one of the things you wanted to talk about, Duane, you're the kind of the head of the East Bonner County Library Seed Library. And as you just mentioned in the beginning, that resource is kind of thin right now, and we need some seeds. And I imagine there's people out there with a little bit of extra seeds. I know, I just thought of some myself to can bring it over. How do you bring it over, your seeds, your extra seeds, and insert them into the library? How does that all work?
Okay. Right now, at the index file back there, up on top, there's a box with a bunch of envelopes in it. You can grab those. You can stop at the information desk and ask the girls or the people there. Some of them's guys. and we've got more envelopes in the back. You take 10 or so envelopes or whatever you think you need. Take them home. Put some seeds in each of the envelopes and write the information on it. The more information, the better, so that we know where it came from. We have so many microclimates in the Sandpoint area. It's very helpful if we've at least got an idea of where those seeds came from, not just from Sandpoint, but from Sagal.
Hope.
on my mm-hmm. own personal property. I've got 3 microclimates on my own property. Hmm. So you stop and think of mm-hmm. Hope is a banana belt,
right?
And Sagal's different. And where I live, it frosts much earlier. So knowing where the seeds came from really helps. The name of the seed, the variety, any information that
growing
you've got.
Length to germination, growing
the majority
like that?
Of that you can get off of any seed site. Mm-hmm. Off, you know. Punch in seeds in your on Facebook, and it's
forever.
Unbelievable what comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you're not getting heirloom seeds every seed packet, right? I mean, because people don't know what, I mean, still even explaining what heirloom is, and when they mm-hmm. go to buy them, they're not asking necessarily for heirloom. They go to the rack and say, oh, mm-hmm. good, I need some squash.
Most heirloom seeds, ones that are truly heirloom, are listed on the package, even when you buy the commercial ones.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them are listed as heirloom, of course, and the ones that aren't are probably hybrids.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with a hybrid is when you try to save seed from it, you have no clue what you're going to get.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It could
right.
be a very interesting vegetable.
Right.
Duane, I've got two questions for you. The first is, if I have heirloom seeds and maybe even organic heirloom seeds that I've purchased from a seed company, but I haven't used them all, they weren't grown here, but would you want those seeds or not?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, believe it or not, seeds have a long viability.
Good.
Especially if they're properly stored.
All right.
Which is one of the reasons why the seed library is at the book library. The library building is hermetically controlled. It is temperature controlled and it is humidity controlled. When you save your seed, where you save it is important. You want to keep them dry. There's a crazy magic number of 100. And that number is a combination of temperature and humidity. If you keep your seeds under 100, they last longer. The farther under the 100 that they are, the better.
Julie has another question for you, but before we hear that question, I just want to remind our listeners this is 88.5 KRFY, and you've tuned in to the morning show, and it's the Garden Talk edition. We have guests in the studio, and we're talking with Duane Church. He's head of the seed library at the East Bonner County Library. And Julie, your question, your second question.
Yes, so my second question is just asking you about the type of seeds that are available. Is it all vegetables? Are there some annuals, flowers? I know vegetables are annuals, but also wondering, would there be any way you might get something like a berry seed, or is that just impossible, or a tree?
Not all, but most berries come from plants. We got a wide variety of seeds, both vegetable, flower, and herb. Personally, I really like herbs. The more herb seeds I have or herb plants I have, the better. But we also, in May, and don't quote me on the date. Look at the library site. I think it's May 7th. But again, don't quote me. There will be a plant exchange. So if you have extra plants that you started and you would like to trade, again, no charge. You bring them in and it's right out in front underneath the covered area there. And we just set up a table and we put our plants out there and you can, you know, and the individuals that are there, you talk to them, you know, and you just literally trade. The old fashioned.
That sounds like fun.
It is.
Gardeners love to get together and talk and share stories, ideas, and how fun is that to share your plant starts? Because everyone starts way too many. You're never going to plant those 100 tomato seeds that you planted in your house. One of the other questions I have, Duane, is if someone had a question for you, because it sounds like you're the connection to this whole thought at the East Bonner County Library, is there a phone number someone could actually call you and talk to you or an email?
Email would probably be better.
Okay.
I've got so many irons in the fire, and I mean, literally.
That's okay.
I'm also a blacksmith.
Uh-huh.
So I'm off doing things a lot, but I do have an email address. It is church, just like with a steeple on top, D, mouse, like the little gray critter, @AOL.com.
I love that email because when I tried to work with the students I work with at a school that I work at, I always say, we're going to go out now and take a little walk, but we're going to be church mice. And they become very quiet. So churchdmouse@AOL.com.
Correct.
And if you have questions and want to find out more about the seed library and what they need, you can get a hold of Duane.
Right.
And Pat, did you have something? You looked...
No, I just want your telephone number. We'll do that off the air because okay. I'd love to have you at the community garden. I think you'd be a great
I'm at
addition.
Home once in a while.
Yeah, good, good.
It sounds like a resource in our community, and you are facilitating that, that will be, especially in the future and even right now, very important as we move forward to preserve the heirloom varieties. We don't want to lose those. So one other question I had is, you can go online and buy heirloom seeds. And I think Julie kind of asked almost the same question. Are we guaranteed?
I would say for the most part, yes. Mm-hmm. I think most seed companies that are out there, and especially some of the smaller ones, I think are fairly reliable. The only problem that you do run into, and that is, yes, they're heirloom, but they may have been raised in Southern California or New Mexico or someplace where they're just not familiar with our area. Mm-hmm. I don't mean the companies. I mean the seeds. Mm. Seeds have an intelligence. I know I'm going to get some static on this one. I always do. There is an intelligence inside of a seed. I don't know if it's DNA. I don't know if there's a little tiny brain inside of there someplace. But seeds adapt. Seeds know where they're grown. They figure it out. They know how many hours of daylight there is, how much rain you're going to get. Seeds are smart.
Mm-hmm.
And they adapt to your local environment.
Well, I'm just going to plant a little seed, a thought seed, that if our seed library here in our area, in our climate, could grow and develop and get very strong and have a lot of viability to the seeds and variety, we could maybe reach out to other seed libraries, say in Wisconsin or someplace where they're about the same climate, and do an exchange even. What do you think of that idea?
I think it's probably a good idea. Whether or not it's a viable idea, I don't know. Because, again, they need to adapt to their own area.
Specifically.
Specifically.
Mm-hmm. The soils are very different.
Mm-hmm. The soils are different. The climate is different. I don't care if you go 50 miles away. It does change.
Okay, and Julie had one more question.
Just one more question, Duane. Do we need to worry about any kind of pests or funguses or anything with the seeds, or are we normally fine if we start out with a young seed?
I think normally, yes, we are just fine.
Good to hear.
It's not something that concerns me. Those things are out there, but I don't care where your seed comes from. The potential exists. The potential exists that you're not going to get an heirloom seed if you come to the seed library. The seeds are free. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't work, I'm sorry.
That's right.
But we do the best we can.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, there is a potential there.
The thing to think about is that when you think about one tomato, you have hundreds of seeds in that one tomato. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if that's all you save and do an exchange or whatever with the library to build up the library's seed count. Mm-hmm. Think about it. I mean, most all of our vegetables have multiple seeds. So it's real simple to save enough.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's use a very small example. Carrots. Most people think, okay, carrots are a biennial. When you put carrot seed in the ground, what you get is a carrot, but you won't get any seed. You put the carrot back in the ground again, which is what I do, although you can leave the carrots in the ground, but there's these little critters that run around there and they like to eat the carrots that you leave in the ground. So I pull the carrots in the fall, I put them in the root cellar, come spring, I replant them. The second year, you actually get a seed head. Okay, I planted half a dozen seeds and got a half a dozen carrots. I got a half a bushel of seed.
Well, there you go. You're going to fill up
crazy.
The catalog.
Yep. I got enough seed off of the 8 carrots that I planted for seed to satisfy the entire state of Idaho.
There you go.
Yep.
Next year, you'll have to pick a different, like parsnips or something.
I just planted my parsnips for this year.
There you go. Well, I really want to thank you for coming in. It's just the beginning. It's kind of the tip of the iceberg. It sounds like you're a rich resource for our community. And you're from the East Bonner County Library Seed Catalog, Duane Church. Thank you for coming in and sharing just a little bit with us about the seed library. And we're going to take a little musical break and come back to the rest of Garden Talk after this song. It's called Guy Clark. It's a Guy Clark song. It's called Homegrown Tomatoes. And we'll be right back. Stay with us. And that was Guy Clark, Homegrown Tomatoes, and you're listening to 88.5 KRFY, and this is The Morning Show, and it's the Garden Talk edition of The Morning Show. And I'm Susie Prez, your host, here in the studios with Pat Wentworth from the Community Gardens and her very own garden, and Julie Calamine, a new KRFY broadcaster. I want to start back into Garden Talk with a little quote again. This is from... It doesn't really say who it's from, but it's a quote that I like. It says, "Real gardeners buy at least 10,000 plants in the course of a lifetime without having the least idea where they'll put them when they get home." Isn't that true?
Wow, that's profound. Yeah, that's kind truly, of. Yeah, it is.
Just find a piece of ground and put them in,
yep.
No matter what.
Exactly.
So let's start back into Garden Talk. And Pat, tell us a little bit about how the community garden's going right now.
Well, it's going to open actually officially on Saturday, April 2nd. We start our first play day, which is the opening of the garden where we get everything ready, fixing the beds and turning the soil and adding more bark to the pathways and just general cleanup, and all the hoses come out, and it's people can plant after we're done with the workday. It starts at 10 o'clock, and it goes until the beer runs out. So just kidding, you can't have beer in the public place. But anyway, I tell them that just so they show up.
It's root beer, I heard.
Yeah,
because we're
is.
Talking
it's,
about gardening.
Yes, you're right. It's mm-hmm. the root. Yes, it is root beer. So that starts at 10 a.m., and you're welcome to come down and join us. And I'm also looking for volunteers. It would be great to have one or two volunteers for the beds that we, like for the food bank and the other organizations we donate to. We have three beds available to be tended to, and that what you do is you are from start to finish responsible for the bed, from planting to weeding, to watering, to bringing the produce to the food bank. And if you can't donate stuff to places, then it's a great way just to do volunteer. You'll meet some really neat people. Maybe it's your first time gardening and you get to do it for free. And so it's a wonderful opportunity. And if you want to volunteer, you can call me. My telephone number is 265-9828. Or show up at the community garden this Saturday, April 2nd at 10 o'clock, and we'll show you what we're talking about. And truly, you'll get involved in the community and the garden. It's a lot of fun.
How many folks have bought plots or rented plots for this year, or typically in a year? Because going over there, you'll start learning from each other.
Absolutely.
Because there's veteran gardeners and new gardeners,
yep.
And it's kind of a great place to get your feet wet in gardening.
It is. We have a total of 72 plots in the garden. Six are designated for the food bank and other organizations. And we have 8 plots left for the season. So we're almost sold out, which is early. Last year we sold out in May. Most years we sell out in May. So people are really getting interested. And, you know, we're 2 weeks ahead from last year. Of opening. We opened like 14th or 16th of April last year, and now this is the 2nd of April, and we have the weather's going to be perfect, and you can plant. There's stuff you can plant now, and there are precautions to take always, but I've planted in my own garden. I've had peas in for like 3 weeks, and I'm planting arugula and spinach this week. I'm using a cold frame, and all that is a box with plastic over the top to keep the heat in. And you can do that on your own beds if you have them at home.
And at the community garden, I have seen people do little hoops,
yep.
And cover it up.
Yep.
So they're the early planters. When you say that totally they had 72 plots,
uh-huh.
you had, and 6 of those are for
food organizations
organizations to give away. 3 of those 6 still need people to tend them.
Correct.
And does the community garden have extra seeds and plants or put in those?
I'll give you
provide.
The seeds. I will.
Okay.
Yeah, personally,
okay.
I will give you the seeds.
And of the 66 that people rent, we'll mm-hmm. call it, how much does it cost to rent one?
A 7x7 plot, which is the largest plot, is $25 a season. And a 4x8 is $20 a season, and you can't even water your own plants in Sandpoint for that amount of money. And we provide as much as we can. We get donations, and we're hoping people will donate this year. And this is a call for it, is if you've got composted manure out there, please just drop it at the garden. There's an area you'll see right now. There, the Parks and Rec, who are our great partners, they are just wonderful, are dropping off shredded bark this Friday, and we'll have the truck there for all the trash and stuff. But they're dropping that off so we can spread
and that goes around the paths, around the beds.
All around the beds, mm-hmm. Yep, and to keep it weed-free, and mm-hmm. it looks nice. Yeah. And so we've got a lot going on Saturday, and please, if you just drop by, I mean, you'll mm-hmm. find out more about it. There, as I said, there are only 8 plots left, and those will be gone very quickly. So if you want a plot, feel free to come down.
Pat, I'm curious about who are the gardeners at the community garden? Are they folks who've gardened a long time and just don't have space anymore, or is it new gardeners, a mix?
It's actually a mix. We have seasoned gardeners. In fact, there are gardeners that have been there since the beginning when we opened the garden, and we're in our 8th season, and I would call them seasoned gardeners. And they may not have come in that way, although some of them have. But we have a lot of newbies, and it's wonderful because we have such great help. People are just willing to share their thoughts, ideas. They trade vegetables. It's really a cool community where everybody just says, hey, how do you get your plants so big? What are you doing that's different than I'm doing? And they look out for other people's beds. If somebody's on vacation, they'll water for them. It truly is a community garden. And with that thought, I'm going to explain community garden because we've had some things go on that just by not knowing what a community garden is. The community garden is actually the city donated the land, the use of the land. And it's about, these are all private plots. These are people pay money to grow vegetables there. So community means come on over and enjoy it. But don't touch. Unless you're a plotter, unless you have your own plot, this is to be enjoyed and look at the beautiful stuff and all of that, but please don't pick anything. And we've had that happen, and it's just, I think, by definition, they thought, well, community meant community, and you can go in and take whatever you want. Well, that's not the way it works. So if you're interested in getting vegetables from the community garden, you've got time to get a plot.
Mm-hmm. Have I know we've talked about this misunderstanding, we'll mm-hmm. call it.
Yep.
Many times in the last few years, has it gotten better, or is it about the same? People just really don't get the idea. Because I always had a thought to have signs up that are clear and big, and
we did.
Just what you
we
said. Enjoy
did.
Looking, but mm-hmm. please do not touch.
Right.
Kind of sign.
We did last year, and
did that help?
It's hard to say because it happens, still mm-hmm. happened. And we have a couple of people that are there at the garden all the time, Robert and Luella, and they've seen, you know, people there that they know were not plotters and had to talk with them about it. And so it's really just, it's kind of common sense, mm-hmm. but it's not, obviously. Right. I just assumed everybody knew, and that wasn't true. So it's an issue, but it's not an issue to keep people away from gardening. It just happens.
It's a respectful issue.
Yeah, it is.
And I know we've talked in the past about possibly putting up a fence, but we don't really want to do that.
No.
We just want it to, over time, and I think if you have Robert and Luella there, and over time, maybe they'll talk to enough people that the word will get out, and we'll keep passing the word here at Garden Talk when
yeah.
we have it.
Yeah, it's, and I've got a couple of signs made up, and mm-hmm. we'll put those up again. And, you know, it's like no trespassing. I mean, how many people pay attention to somebody's property if they don't see anybody there? So mm-hmm. it's that kind of thing. So it's really an honor system because we've got families with kids that have their own plots, and they're so excited, and they're planting, and they're growing, and things are popping up. And all of a sudden, that happened to one of the family, the mm-hmm. plotters, that, you know, their pumpkins were gone. And you know, the kids are, yeah, they're really tearful. It's because they really anticipate it and really enjoy it, and they worked hard for right. it. So
let's go back just for a moment. We're talking about the community garden here in Sandpoint. It has a history. It's been here for about how many years again?
This is our 8th season.
8th already.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I remember when it first went in.
Yeah.
And if there's still a few beds available, it looks like there's eight. And then there's three beds that a volunteer could tend for the giveaway food to the food bank and things like that.
Right.
And they can call you at 265-9828.
Correct.
To find out more about that.
Correct.
Now, I'll swing away from that a little bit to the general gardening. In our community, you mentioned that you're going to be planting some seeds this weekend.
I am. I planted peas. I planted those about 3 weeks ago.
Are they up yet?
I haven't checked them. I've got to check them today because I'm going to go out there and plant some arugula and some spinach. But my garlic is up, and that was planted in October, which I plant every year, October or November. And that's up. And so there are things the peas, you know, because we've had so much rain, you know, the peas are, and it gets cold at night, you know, I don't have them covered, but peas are very hardy. They'll come up when they want to come up. So I haven't checked them, but I pre-sprout them. It's the quickest way so that they're already sprouted when I put them in the ground.
Why don't you give us a little picture of pre-sprouting?
Sure. It's, I use a baggie, you know, a sealed baggie and damp paper towel, and all you do is put your seeds in the damp paper towel, fold it over, put it in the baggie, and close it up, and in a day or two you're going to have sprouted peas.
So you'll see those little tails coming out.
Yes.
Okay.
And that, and it's
then they're
really,
ready to go.
Then they're ready. You just plop them in the soil.
Do you use inoculant?
I haven't. I found that it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. That was a big word for you, Susie. Where'd you get that one? Did you look it up?
I don't know.
Stuff?
It just kind of came into my head.
I like that, inoculant.
Inoculant.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. And I have used it, and then I haven't used it. And it really didn't seem to make a difference. The sprouting is really helpful because, you know, it's just they're ready to go then. They're ready to grow.
Then the temperature or the dampness of the soil outside isn't such an issue.
Correct.
They've already got that head start.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Pat, can we use a pre-sprouting technique for all seeds, or does it work better for some?
Well, beans, you know, the real hard seed is a really good. They break through before, you know, they've even gone in the soil. So, you know, beans are a good one to do that with. Peas, those are the only two I do it with.
Well, there's a lot we can talk about. I have a couple more questions just about seeds, but I'd like to take a little musical break. We have just a little bit more time left. And this is a song, Steve Goodman. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show on this beautiful Tuesday, March 29th. It's the last Tuesday in March. And it is the Garden Talk variety of the morning show. This is Steve Goodman, and his song is The Vegetable Song. We'll be right back. Stay with us. And that was Steve Goodman, The Vegetable Song, appropriate for this morning show edition of the Garden Talk, and we're here in the studio with Pat Wentworth, Julie Calamine, and myself, Susie Prez, talking about gardens, community gardens, the seed library at the Bonner County Library, and school gardens. We mentioned those. And I had another question, Pat, about one of the things. This is on the personal level. I plant spinach every year early when it's cold. They like cold so they won't bolt. And every year they bolt, and I don't have beautiful spinach. And I was talking to a gardening friend who's a new DJ here, by the way, at KRFY. And he said it's the seed variety.
That could very well be. I blamed it on the season last year because everything I planted bolted. I mean, between the heat and the smoke from the fires and everything, I was not doing well with the lettuce or my spinach. It was bolting. So the seed variety very well could be, and I didn't know that, but it sure makes sense because some people get beautiful spinach and other people don't. And I was one that I had a tough time with spinach.
So have you found a variety that really works?
Well, it's funny because the years before the same variety of spinach that I've been using hasn't been bolting. I haven't had that kind of issue, so it's hard to say what works and what doesn't. I use an American long spinach, I think it's called, something like that. It's a big leaf spinach, and it starts out really well, but I mean, you know, you can leave it a day in the heat and it's bolted. So I don't have an answer. I didn't know that about different varieties, but it makes sense.
So maybe it would make sense to get a couple different ones that say bolt free or bolt whatever. And try them and see, but pay attention. So that brings me to another subject, gardening notebooks. And what were you going to say?
Well, there is a variety of lettuce. It's called Slow Bolt.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's S-L-O Bolt. Well, so, yeah, so you. That's, I grow Slow Bolt lettuce because lettuce is apt to bolt the minute it gets hot. And then it gets bitter. I don't find that as much with spinach, but with lettuce, it gets bitter.
So do you plant your crops like that, lettuce, spinach, greens, in a shadier area or in my garden has a lot of shade, but mm-hmm. I've been reading that you need at least 6 hours of sun.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true for even things like that?
Well, it can be, but you can do shade cloth, too, if that's the case. I mean, on your over your beds. I plant anywhere. It doesn't matter. And I'm shaded by trees in some areas, which I tend to put, something that needs the shade more. Peas are great. That's fine. I just plant, and then I'll cover if it's too sunny, because my row covers are not totally opaque, but they're close to being opaque, so that'll keep out some of the sunlight and heat. So it's just, it's trial and error every year.
Well, that's some good advice. And anything else, last thoughts before we kind of wrap it up here for the garden talk?
Yeah, I was sitting at my dining room table this morning, and we live on 5.5 acres, and I'm looking out in the back through the picture window, and I see this body out there. I wasn't sure if it was a deer or a fox or whatever, so I got up, got my binoculars, and looked out, and it was a wolf. It's the second wolf I've seen in our back part of our yard this year. And I've never seen wolves here since I've been here. So it was, we've got 3 cats, which is, but we keep them penned. But it was like amazing, really amazing.
Are you sure it wasn't just a gigantic coyote?
No, it was a wolf. It was bulky, furry, tails big.
A little wild looking.
Oh, yeah. It was just beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Well, that was a beautiful thing for your day to start.
It was. It was. Absolutely.
Julie, did you have one last thing you want to say?
Well, I was just going to ask Pat if there was anything we should be for sure planting in the next couple days or week.
Well, peas for sure. I mean, that's really a no-brainer. I plant things early and, you can start spinach. I mean, spinach is good, and if you cover it with plastic, I mean, just throw some plastic over your bed or something and, just prop up, you don't have to prop it up right now because they're not going to be sprouting.
Okay.
But
so
it'll warm the soil. Yeah,
absolutely. Good start. Thank
you. Gals, it's been really fun having you here. Julie Calamine and Pat Wentworth and Dwayne Church from the East Bonner County Library talking about the Seed Library. We want to thank all of you for joining us today and encouraging and inspiring us to get out there and garden. We also heard about the school gardens, that we'll have them on the show coming up in a little bit. Right now, we want to say goodbye, and we hope you have a beautiful day. This is 88.5 KRFY. This has been the Morning Show and the Garden Talk Edition. Also, we want to let you know about something that's coming up May 6th at the Panada. It is the Little Smokies Band, fresh from their win at the Telluride Bluegrass Festival Band Competition. And they're coming to the Panada to do a KRFY Community Radio Benefit Concert. And that is, again, May 6th. You can get your tickets now, but save the date. Tickets are available at Evans Brothers Coffee, Pedro's, Eichhardt's, KRFY at 265-2992, and online at panada.org. That's the Little Smokies, along with special guests, and this is good, Doug Bond and Terry Ludeker on the big stage of the Panada, Friday, May 6th, KRFY Benefit Concert. So we're going to go out by hearing a little Smokey song. This is called California. We hope you have a beautiful day. Thank you.